nation's capital. This is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Ladies and gentlemen, the program today is about hiring offenders with a focus on an extraordinarily successful program here in the District of Columbia, DC Central Kitchen. We have three people by our microphones today. We have Sarah Riley. She is the program administration manager for DC Central Kitchen. We have Persis Johnson, a recruitment and intake coordinator, again, for DC Central Kitchen. And we have Luella Johnson. She's the supervisory vocational and development specialist for my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. She heads up the Vocational Opportunities for Training, Education, and Employment Division. Ladies, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thank you.
All right, I want to go around the room and explain to our listeners, first of all, what DC Central Kitchen is, and then we'll go over to Luella to talk about our agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, and her division, VOTE. So, Sarah, you're going to start us off?
Thank you. Yes, so DC Central Kitchen is a not-for-profit organization founded in 1989 by Robert Egger. Our mission statement is to use food as a tool to strengthen bodies, empower minds, and build communities. So Persis and I work at the Culinary Job Training Program, which is one of the many programs DC Central Kitchen offers.
Okay, but DC Central Kitchen, in essence, is more than just a training program?
Yes.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we have a food recovery and meal distribution program that recovers food from the local community, and we send it out to homeless shelters, after-school programs, transitional programs, so we feed different organizations so they don't have to spend their own money on food.
Okay, so you act as a food bank?
Of sorts, yes.
Okay, good. So you have that distribution, that intake and distribution of food, plus you have a training program, training people in culinary arts.
Yes.
Anything else to it?
We also have a Healthy Corners program, getting fruits and vegetables and healthy snacks out to food deserts in Wards 7 and 8 here in D.C. Then we also have our Campus Kitchens program, which replicates the D.C. Central Kitchen model in campus kitchens across America. We're in 42 different universities.
Tell me about that. What does that mean? 42 universities. You're in 42 universities doing what?
Well, the students there use their kitchen space when it's not occupied to they work with their local community. So some are feeding single mothers, some are feeding the elderly, some are feeding after school programs. They work with their community to find out where the need is and then try to fulfill that.
So I'm very impressed. Yeah. I'm assuming DC Central Kitchen is a DC centric program, and you're in 42 locations throughout the United States. You're really devoted to this whole concept of food and getting food in the hands of people who need it.
Yes, using food as a tool to build communities.
Okay, so the training part of it is just a small part of it then.
It's our flagship program. It's the biggest program. Most people know us for the training program because we're getting men and women back to work, especially people that have been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. But we do have several things.
Well, it's an extraordinarily interesting program, and I do want to talk more about it, but I'm going to shift over to Luella Johnson, the Supervisory Vocational Development Specialist here at our agency, Luella, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Tell, for the uninitiated, what is the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency?
Well, CSOSA is an independent federal law enforcement agency that supervises individuals on probation, parole, and supervised release here in the District of Columbia. We are a very unique federal government agency in that our jurisdiction is strictly in the District of Columbia. I'm very proud to supervise our VOTE unit, where we have a staff of 12 dedicated professionals who identify employment, training, and educational opportunities for those clients. And at any given time, we have approximately about 500 individuals on our caseload that we are providing services to.
That's an amazing amount of people.
Yes.
So anybody who has an educational or a vocational deficiency, they come to your unit to remediate.
That is correct. There is a criteria, however. These individuals, if they're coming seeking employment, they have to be 30 days drug-free before they're referred to us. We do take marijuana users in our learning labs, but that is the only drug.
Well, the bottom line is that they're ready for employment in most cases. And the bottom line is that the people who we put up for the employment process are ready for training and they're ready for employment. In most most cases, they're far beyond any drug history at all. In most cases, they're stabilized. So when people say, when we talk about hiring people caught up in a criminal justice system, mm-hmm. we're not talking about somebody fresh from prison. We're talking about somebody who's prepared.
Absolutely. And I think we're very proud of our process, because what we do is, as individuals who are referred to us, we place them in three categories. They're job ready, job preparatory, or adult learning. Mm-hmm. And we refer individuals who are job ready for our best training partners and our best employer partners. And with that, that allows for success. It allows for us to continue to have a direct pipeline to suitable employment and training opportunities, because we're continually giving our partners quality individuals.
And I think that's the key into this, because we do have a problem with employment of people under supervision in the District of Columbia. I mean, we're only talking about those who are eligible for employment. Now, mm-hmm. if you're caught up in a residential training program, or if you're going for drug treatment, or if you're going for mental health counseling, you're not an eligible individual. But for those eligible individuals, we're only talking about 50% of our people being employed on any given day. So we have said that there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people ready to employ now, correct?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's hundreds and thousands. Unfortunately, many of our offenders, they face a lot of different challenges. Mm-hmm. And so, and also when you look at the area that we're in, it's very challenging in the District of Columbia, because you have a city that has a lot of individuals who have advanced degrees,
yep.
who have advanced experience, no criminal history. And unfortunately, many of our clients are competing with these individuals. And so in that regard, you know, that is a challenge for those individuals. And for us, we have to do what we can with the resources that we have to get these individuals prepared to compete with individuals who far exceed their experience and qualifications.
I just wanted to say that I've interviewed lots of people who are under supervision, who are looking for employment before these microphones in the past. And you sit there across from these individuals in suit coats and ties, and they're carrying themselves perfectly. In many instances, these people have some education or some mm-hmm. experience, and you wonder, why aren't they employed? But I am going to go over to Pierces Johnson, who is the recruitment and intake coordinator for DC Central Kitchen. Who do you look for, Pierces?
So we're looking for we're looking for various things when it comes down to an individual that we're looking for. We recruit at a lot of different agencies, so we're recruiting at places that are where there are citizens who are in recovery from addiction, where they may be in halfway housing, where they may be in another employment training program even, and find that they're interested in culinary. So we're looking in different places, but when it comes to the actual individual and their qualifications, we're looking for someone who has stable housing. We're looking for someone who has 120 days drug-free. Mm-hmm. We're looking for someone who, if they have children, has a plan to take care of those kids during the day if mm-hmm. they're in our full-time program. We're looking for people who have a support network. They may have been coming out of incarceration, but they may have family members or former bosses or coaches sure. and things like that who are supporting their efforts for them to get back on their feet. We're looking for a lot of different things. And it's a really good question, but it presents the biggest challenge for us in a way.
Right.
Because everyone's different, and we can never say with certainty that X individual is going to do really well because they've met all of those criteria. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the framework that we operate in.
I want to give out the website to DC Central Kitchen, www.dccentralkitchen.org, for CSOSA, www.csosa.gov. What is the secret sauce to DC Central Kitchen, now that we've gotten the preliminaries taken care of? DC Central Kitchen is phenomenally successful. You've taken individuals who have been caught up in the criminal justice system. They're working. They're working full-time. They're taxpayers. They're no longer tax burdens. They're taking care of their families. There's something really interesting about DC Central Kitchen. We did an interview with a National Culinary Arts magazine a little while ago about that relationship between our folks, the people who we try to place, and DC Central Kitchen. And in fact, this coming Thursday, today, tomorrow, in fact, we're dealing with another interview about DC Central Kitchen and the folks that we refer there. There's something secret, something interesting, something magic that's happening with DC Central Kitchen. I want to know what it is.
Well, like Persis said, everybody's an individual, but Persis and I, our task is to hone in on who's ready for change. We use the word change a lot at the kitchen because we're really looking for somebody that knows that they don't want to go back to prison, knows that they can't continue doing what they've been doing in the past, and has some self-awareness and on the continuum of change is ready for change, is conscious. And our plan, I guess how we work it, is a holistic approach. So we're not just doing, here's some knife skills, here's a resume, good luck in the job field. We're saying, we have a class called self-empowerment, which is dealing with the trauma that we've all been through, dealing with issues that they've had stemming from childhood, dealing with issues coming out of incarceration and reintegrating back into society. And then we couple that self-empowerment with the hard skills in the kitchen. You do learn how to cook at DC Central Kitchen, but then we also do job readiness skills, and then we do the soft skills, time management, conflict resolution. We kind of our holistic approach tries to get at it from all different angles, and then we assist them with their employment as well.
All right, Persis, so what we're talking about is a holistic program that trains people to go and work within the culinary industry, either in DC or beyond, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I would add too that we really try to meet individuals where they are. We're not trying to convince them of anything. Most of them are ready for change. But at the same time, we want to meet them where they are. If they're presenting certain challenges, like they have a specific challenge with housing, maybe, we want to work with them on that.
Okay.
And not necessarily disqualify them from our program, but say, how can we assist you on this one thing that would help you successfully complete our program?
How many people successfully complete the program?
Over 1,000. Last year alone, we graduated 85 students.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the people that go in graduate?
The retention rate is really high. It's in the mid 80s.
Okay, and that is the point that I want to get to, because I've been looking at research and been involved in the criminal justice system for decades, and a lot of these programs that are out there throughout the country, the retention rate and the success rate is like 30%, 40%. There's a lot of dropouts. You're talking about 80%.
Yeah,
that is daggone phenomenal.
In the mid 2000s, our graduation rate was around 50%. It really, we beefed up the program and added a couple layers, and that's why we have such a high retention rate now. And because we screen people so closely on the intake. Thankfully, we've been around since 1989, so people know about us. We have a really strong partnership with CSOSA, so we have a ready, influx of candidates that are, know about the program and really want to get in, see the results. And so we're able to really screen the applicants.
Okay, I'm going to take one more crack at this. The reporter from the national newspaper that interviewed us about why DC Central Kitchen is so successful with people caught up in the criminal justice system, she wasn't satisfied with our standard answers. She said there's something unique going on here that neither one of you are getting to. Anybody want to take a crack at that? I'm going to give you one more chance. What is it about DC Central Kitchen? She suggested is that this is a creative world, a world that brings that person's personal sense of creativity to the forefront, that person's personal sense of expression. So it's not like they're out on a construction site pouring concrete. Right. They're in there creating, and she suggested that may be the secret sauce. I'm not putting words into your mouth, but you go from there.
Maybe an outside perspective would help. I don't know. Luella, do you happen to know?
Well, I really think it's about that particular individual deciding to make a change. Generally, when we have individuals who are on parole, they really do not want to go back into the Bureau of Prisons. And they want to really come out and make a difference in their lives. And when you encounter individuals who are determined to make a difference, that's a really nice, tasty, spicy sauce, so to speak. I mean, that is what really gets those individuals able to, really be successful. And all you have to do is kind of really guide them a little bit, but they're doing all the work.
Okay,
because they made a change.
It's personal change, and I accept that because, again, when interviewing people under supervision by these microphones for over a decade, they all say the same thing. They say, you've got to want it within your heart. You've
That's
got
it.
To accept it within your heart. You've got to make that personal change. But the retention rate in some other jobs where they are placed is not nearly as high as we have with DC Central Kitchen. When they graduate, how many people go out and actually find jobs?
Pretty much the whole class will find employment
That's
eventually.
What I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we also make it a point to, I don't want to say stuck, but we stick with our students throughout not only the process for which they're in the program, but well after that. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately their success, no matter when that happens, is our success. So if at graduation they're not ready to start a job, maybe 3 weeks after graduation they are. Maybe 6 weeks after graduation they found something. Our workforce coordinators work very hard to follow up and to allow DC Central Kitchen to be a space that they can always return to. So I think that's an important element.
And but, 80% completion rate, nearly yeah. 100% rate of placement within the occupational area in which they've been trained is phenomenal, not just for people in the criminal justice system, but any job training program across the board. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a program today about hiring offenders. We have people from DC Central Kitchen, and we do love DC Central Kitchen. They have a national reputation, and now I know they're in how many colleges? 48?
42.
42 colleges throughout the country in terms of using their kitchens for food redistribution. We have Sarah Riley, Program Administration Manager from DC Central Kitchen, Persis Johnson, Recruitment and Intake Coordinator, and Luella Johnson, Supervisory Vocational Development Specialist from my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, www.dccentralkitchen.org, www.csosa, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency.gov. All right, where do we go to from here? Now, people are listening to this program throughout the country. We have a national audience. 20% of our audience is international. So you've got people in France, in England, listening to this program now. You've got people in New Zealand. What message do we give them about people caught up in the criminal justice system and the employment process? You didn't expect that question, did you?
No, we did.
I'll speak to that. I'll speak to that because I find that it's something that comes up daily when I speak to a lot of our students. That is, you know, we always talk about how DC Central Kitchen is kind of like the house of second chances. We can give second chances, but we also need for the community and employers to buy into giving second chances because ultimately we can prepare students as much as we want. We can vouch for them and say that they're working really hard. Hard to shake, as my mother would call it, the monkey off your back, which is your record. But ultimately, we need employers to say, okay, I'm willing to set aside your record and take you as an individual and see what you can commit and bring to the table. You've completed 14 weeks of a program where it was rigorous, and so let's give you an opportunity to work with us. That's kind of what we need. We get buy-in from community agencies. We get buy-in from people who want to participate in the program, but we need employers to buy in because those are the people who are really the ones who are providing the second chance.
And how difficult is that process of inviting employers to participate in the hiring of people caught up in the criminal justice system?
I think it depends. It depends on what that employer's experience has been. If they have had a positive experience, they're very open to it. If they've had a couple of situations where providing that employment opportunity to an offender didn't go quite well, they may be a little skeptical. But that only means that we have, as advocates for these offenders who are seeking employment, have to really dig in deep and really do our very best to reach out to these employers and say, individuals need second chances, and sometimes they need a third and a fourth. And if you keep that in mind, that these are our neighbors, these are people that we see in our communities, then that will change the perspective, that if we are able to give them a chance, we can turn them into taxpaying citizens, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone who's a drain on our economy if we're constantly putting them away.
Plus making society much safer.
Much safer.
The research is very clear that the benefits of having people employed when they come out of the prison system or when they're on probation, because the majority of our folks are on probation, not coming from the prison system, finding them work and you know, everybody does better and everybody benefits, and yet we say that, and I'm not quite sure that that message carries the day. What you all are saying is that there are good people ready to go to work today that will be a benefit to that individual. That's your message, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Individuals, like I said before, are like the people that they encounter every day. They have families. You know, they want to be good parents. They want to be good husbands and wives. And they want to be self-sufficient. They just need the opportunity.
But let me go back to that question posed by that national reporter. Her sense was, once again, it's the creativity of working in the culinary interesting. It's the creativity of making something. It's the immediate gratification of a customer consuming what they've made. There are rewards and creative benefits that you're not going to find in a lot of jobs.
I think that's true. I think that a lot of returning citizens, a lot of people that are coming out of incarceration that come to our program have cooked while they were incarcerated. They cooked in prison. So they have experience with it. It's something they know that they can handle. And then they do get the gratification of seeing people enjoy their food, knowing they get the self-confidence, knowing that they can handle this job. And then I think it's an arts. You can be creative with culinary, and it's one of those jobs that you can have anywhere you go. So they know, you know, everybody eats hopefully a couple meals a day, and they're you know, that they're gonna, it's, there's job security in the culinary industry, and it's one of those industries that's forgiving to people with criminal backgrounds.
And why is that?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think because, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry to cut you off, Luella, but I think one of the reasons is because there's a lot of things that Persis and I both have backgrounds in the restaurant industry, and they just want you to show up. Show up, be on time, and do your job. And if you can learn what the chef is teaching you and show up on time, that's all there is to it. You know, so that's one of the things we are really adamant about in the program is punctuality and then saying, yes, chef. Listen to what the chef is saying. No backtalk. Just say, yes, chef. Yes, chef. Yes, chef. Okay, then you can do it. It's one of those jobs that you don't have to have an education for.
Yeah.
At the program specifically, you don't have to have a high school diploma or a GED. Mm-hmm. So it's open for people that might work better with their hands, but also not want to work outside all the time.
I mean, it just strikes me that if DC Central Kitchen could expand 20-fold, all of the people, Luella, that we have under supervision who do not have jobs would have jobs. Now, I know that's a stretch, but nevertheless, it is that opportunity, the opportunity that the culinary industry offers to people under supervision, the fact of what Sarah just said and what Pierce has just said, the idea that they're welcoming. You know, did I get it wrong?
It's okay. It gets butchered daily.
Correct me.
It's Persis.
Jeez. Persis. I'll probably screw it up before. I have a group of listeners from New York City who say, Leonard, you cannot pronounce a name right to save your life. So you know, it is an industry that welcomes all comers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit different, a lot different from a lot of other industries, and I think that welcome mat is felt by the people that we refer.
Absolutely, I would say that's true.
Yeah,
I would say that's true.
You know,
I think there's also an opportunity too for people who haven't necessarily explored what they're interested in because they've never completed anything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an opportunity for them not only to explore and be creative, but to follow through and complete something. It's not just about the food. It's not just about the creativity, but it's about finishing something. It's about graduating. We had a guy who graduated last week whose mother, this is the first time his mother was able to attend something that he had completed. The first time in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important piece of it is this is another chance for those coming to us to follow through with the process, complete something, and actually see that there are people who can care about them, mm-hmm. who are not trying to use them or who are not family members, but who are committed to seeing them successfully follow through and finish.
Yeah, and Leonard, I don't think you can emphasize that enough. I know Persis and Sarah talks about this, but I think we really need to emphasize the fact that you have individuals who have little to no support system, and now you have an entity who's willing to walk with them from beginning to end. And that end does not necessarily mean the end of the program. It means the end until they are comfortable mm-hmm. that they can stand on their own. And I think maybe that's the key sauce in it, that they now have the support and backing of an entity that truly cares about their success. And it is their own internal motivation combined that allows them to be successful. So, I mean, I really think that that's an awesome, awesome thing that the DC Central Kitchen as a unit does in terms of holding that individual's hand from beginning to end until they can stand on their own. That really contributes to the success. And then those individuals, by word of mouth, are able to say, hey, this worked for me. Look at where I am. Mm-hmm. This can work for you. And it just continues a positive process. Yeah.
Sarah, do you
want to? Oh, and I would just like to add to that is so true, everything you just said. But also, our favorite phrase is trust the process. Day one, we set all 25 students down and we say, listen, you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to want to fight back. You're going to want to fight us, basically. Trust the process. And we're not kidding ourselves. We know that trust is the number one issue that our students face because they've learned to survive by not trusting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So for us, complete strangers telling them, hey, trust us. Trust the process. They're like, nah, get out of here. So it's an uphill battle, but that's what the Culinary Job Training Program and CSOSA, that's what we work really closely with all of the CSOs, the mm-hmm. Community Supervision Officers, to really show them that we're supporting you. We want to see you be successful. We are here for you. We're going to make sure you make your appointments. We're going to make sure you make your analysis. We're going to make sure that you are here for the program every day. Mm-hmm. So they really learn to trust the process in throughout the 14 weeks. But it's not easy. The first couple of weeks, people want to fight. But slowly but surely, and some people do. Some people fight it until they are dismissed from the program. Yeah. But some people make it through and say, wow, I can't believe I just did this.
But most amazing. People do make it through. That's the astounding mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Now, is this a realistic business model? Again, for all the people listening throughout the country and around the world, is this a realistic business model to have an employer display that level of concern for an individual? I mean, is DC Central Kitchen a model, the part of the secret sauce for getting people caught up in a criminal justice system, for getting them employed? Or is this a little unrealistic?
Well, it's realistic because it's real. It's happening.
Right.
Doing it. So it's realistic.
You're successful, but will an average employer take that time and take that care and take that extra four or five steps to keep that person? Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Are you sure?
I just think that's the wrong question. I think the question is, why won't they make that commitment to that individual? Like you said, like we had talked about before, mm-hmm. these are members of our community. These are individuals that need a second chance. And the only difference between them and some of the other individuals that are not on supervision is that maybe they got caught. Mm-hmm. You know, So the question is not, is it realistic? You know, it's something that can be done. It's no question. The question is, why won't more employers take a chance to invest in these individuals? Why won't they take a chance to really be true members of a community?
And when we place an individual with an organization at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, we do provide that support network.
Absolutely.
We do provide a support network that DC Central Kitchen employs, but we do it for the employer.
Absolutely. And so if there are any outstanding issues, like Sarah said, we work work very closely with the community supervision officers, as well as the VOTE staff. We have vocation development specialists who are able to help provide assistance to those individuals while they go through the process.
15 seconds. How do we sum up DC Central Kitchen?
A full-time training program, helping people get back to the workforce. I'm just going to say that we use food as a tool to strengthen bodies, empower minds, and build communities. That's what we're doing at DC Central Kitchen.
Yep, that awesome second chances.
And the bottom line is that you're doing it successfully.
Thank you. Yes.
Again, I say again.
Yes, very successful.
Completion rate and near 100% successful placement rate upon graduation.
Can we give some numbers real quick?
Sure.
For 2014, excuse me, we graduated 85 students. We had a 90% job placement rate, and at 6 months, 86 of them were still employed.
So incredible.
$12.51 average wage.
We've been doing a program today on hiring offenders. The focus has been on the phenomenal DC Central Kitchen. Sarah Riley, Program Administration Manager.
Persis.
There you go. Folks in New York are going to be on me. Johnson, Recruitment and Intake Coordinator, and Luella Johnson, Supervisory Vocational Development Specialist. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. We appreciate your comments. We even appreciate your criticisms, and we want everybody to have themselves a very pleasant day.